I think it's the breadth of applications and solutions within, with the same framework of solution that we have. We've been working with so many clients in different markets, different geographies. At the end of the day, it's all around people. So that's definitely the most enjoyable part for me is the interaction with people. But then when you see the result, when you see how they apply our technology that, was conceived here by a relatively small team, and we're helping to change the world.
Welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Just sit back, relax, and learn from the leaders of today. It's a journey. Each one is different, unique, inspiring. Let's get started. 20 Minute Leaders is a proud supporter of Make-A-Wish Israel and Tech to Peace, and is in proud collaboration with Secret Chord Ventures, J Ventures, Riverside FM, Fusion VC, Birthright Excel, J Impact, Leap, Google for Startups, and Hippo, and in media partnership with CTech. Asaf Somek, welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm really excited to be talking to you about your journey, the journey of Iguazio, acquisition to McKinsey, the whole world of AI application building and deployment within enterprises and large organizations. Obviously, we're all drawn to what's been happening this past year with the AI revolution. It hasn't passed any organization's mind, and I've been particularly curious about how enterprises, in part, are adopting these sorts of technologies and looking at it. So I'm really excited to go back all the way to 2015 and before that even, as to how you've been looking at the data science world in the context of organizations. So again, Asaf, thank you so much for being here. Tell me a little bit about your background, because before Iguazio, you've actually had quite a bit of background and experience in the tech sector with some phenomenal companies. So share with me a little bit about your journey and what led to your understandings.
Sure, Michael. First, I'm really happy to be here. And I'm glad we're talking. So if we go back, in fact, back in the 80s, that's when I started my journey. And actually, my first experience with computer was pretty bad. I was actually even programming as a kid with IBM punch cards. I had the opportunity to do that. And it wasn't that a great of experience. But following that, I had my TI-99 that change the experience. But then already in my second year in the Technion, I had my first AI course that was by far the best experience through the whole 4 years in the Technion. And I knew this is going to be big. AI had its fashion cycles. There were, I think we're now into the sixth wave of AI. But AI has always been there, but for sure, ChatGPT changed everything and made it accessible to so many people. And, it's not surprising that the Economist picked generative AI as their word of the year. So going back, in terms of my personal career, as many people in the tech sector on the business side, they start their career on the R&D side. So I was actually a software developer, leading teams for the first 8-9 years of my career. And then switched to the dark side of business, product marketing, partnerships, business development, marketing. This has been the last, I would say, 23 years after my MBA in IMD Business School in Switzerland. That was an amazing international experience. And since then, it's been an amazing ride, first with Voltaire, a company that was already in the HPC, high performance computing and financial services space, where that we took public in NASDAQ back in 2007, later got acquired by Mellanox, that is now part of NVIDIA. That actually started our all our relationships within NVIDIA before and after the acquisition of Mellanox by NVIDIA. In between, you know, we started just before starting Iguazio. I was for a couple of years at a company called Compass that we were in the silicon photonics space, where physics and electronics and software meet each other. Very, very interesting experience there. But then in 2014, hooked up with my friends from Voltaire, Yaron Segev, Yaron Khaviv, and Orit Nissan Messing. And we saw, initially it was more around people trying to harness data, but very quickly we realized that the top application that they're trying to combine historical online data, real-time data, into insights and actions and predictions where the toughest applications were related to data science, and the gap between that quick POC that you have in AI and then taking it to the business. Upon this, we actually founded Iguazio, and this is where we are today.
Love it. So first of all, fascinating background, and I can only imagine the breadth of experience that you get from going from your experience in academia to the real world top leading software engineering teams and being a part of these kind of groundbreaking organizations, especially in the Israeli tech ecosystem, but in general, you know, globally, and really being always at that cutting edge and seeing the problems as they arise. If you want to double down on that gap that you've observed in the context of going from POCs, leveraging, you know, this data ingestion all the way to the insight formation, leveraging machine learning capabilities, what were those main gaps of going from POC to productionization already back in 2015? What did you see sort of come up again and again? And it was that was also what when that happened, was there a distinction between sort of the enterprises and smaller companies, or was it more generally a pain point that was true for everybody?
So this is where I differentiate between the tech giants. Actually, I always use a term that, you know, AI is a luxury of the tech giants. They've been using it, you know, they've been, you know, using our data for years and using AI technologies, extracting and monetizing it in an amazing way, right? But it was, you know, a luxury of, you know, the Googles of the world, the Facebooks of the world. But it wasn't really propagating into, you know, the largest banks, the largest, industrial companies, and everybody, I mean, already back in 2015, were playing with AIs, with AI. They were, a couple months ago, I met with a CIO of a company that said that she had more pilots in AI than the number of pilots in American Airlines. She had pilot sickness because they were doing pilots, and those pilots were proving the business value of a particular technology in AI. But you check a year later, a couple of years later, that project died on its way to production. There is a huge gap. And in fact, generative AI increases that gap, because with generative AI, the creating a demo or starting to use something basic is very easy. I mean, the ability to deliver something like a demo there is relatively easy. Taking it to production with generative AI is actually harder than before, because, you know, we mentioned NVIDIA, because of the usage of GPUs, which is non-trivial, to say the least, and that gap is increasing. So you were asking me about particular reasons, and I think I can name several. First, with this whole thing that AI was considered some sort of magic. So that group of data scientists that were, you know, typically PhDs that did lots of research and in academia, they continue to do this kind of research within those enterprises. And for the first few years, most enterprises were happy with the fact that they're doing research, that they're experimenting what will be the future of their field with AI. But then the fact that they were considered as a silo, a technology silo, and were not integrated as part of the general software development lifecycle, that was a problem that I'm sure you're familiar with CI/CD, all these technologies that we have now for decades that are continuously allowing organizations to deploy applications in the day-to-day. CI/CD was not applied in the space of AI and machine learning because you have more dimensions. Software, CI/CD, it's relatively easy. I mean, it's one-dimensional source code, objects, you know, binaries, versions, that's it, more or less. But when it comes to machine learning, suddenly you have the software, you have the models that are integrated within the software and usually have a life of its own, of their own, because they're progressing in a different pace than the actual software around them. And then you need to also connect it to their data sets, the original data set that was used to train that model. And with the whole world of governance and, you know, regulation that is coming upon us or already started with AI, you need that. You need that to be super governed. And people were not doing that. It was a little bit more complicated and they didn't know how to do that. That's one of the areas that today we always zoom in when we work with large enterprises, see how you can actually, you have your own CI/CD already. We will work with you, Mr. Customer, on how to actually expand your CI/CD tools today to also be applied to machine learning and AI. So that's one area. Another area is the ability. I mean, people thought that, okay, just by using my data sources, you know, my data warehouse, my you know, my operational systems, I can actually integrate all of that and build an application. It's very different when you actually run it in your development lab where your data scientists have all the time in the world to create and you know, massage the data into these large tables and, you know, CSVs, files, whatever they're using. And based on that, run train the model, run the model. And then when you look at it in the real world, suddenly you have some of the data that is sitting in very old data warehouses that are very slow. And then other sources of data are very fast where you have streaming data coming from, let's say, credit card transactions. And people, you know, in order to move it to production, they eventually needed to rewrite their application. So what we're doing with our clients, we're actually showing them that there are ways to actually build those applications once. And this is called, you know, feature engineering, that the feature engineering can be done once. And that will be applied both for the lab work and the day-to-day work. This is basically using a whole field. I mean, of course, we won't be able to get into that today, with offline and online feature stores. That's also a key part of the work we're doing with our clients. So these are two out of, you know, several big problems that people have, you know, around the data, around their internal processes. It's not just technology. We always, right, you know, when we start the engagement with a client, it's this triangle of technology, processes, and people. And it always, it keeps moving all the time. And we work with them now, part of McKinsey. You know, we cover all three.
How has the conversation changed or evolved over the last 9 years? And then I'd love to get into McKinsey and the integration there.
Yeah, it's been very interesting to see the evolution over the years. And as I said before, you know, people were quite happy with the fact that they have a research team that shows what will be the future. But that patience of the business side has actually over time got smaller and smaller, and people wanted to see results. And over time, we saw that actually leaders in data science, heads of data science groups, that felt, okay, we need to show the value in the business, not just to show a beautiful model that works great in the lab. And we actually started working with those leaders within the technology sector of, you know, data science group that had that business affiliation to show the value. And eventually we saw new roles. We saw the position of ML engineer. We saw the position of ML ops engineer. We saw the term ML ops evolving. It didn't exist in 2015. It's great to see such a, you know, this trajectory of a new technology that evolves with new positions. And let's not forget to talk about the fact that Iguazu keeps hiring and we've been growing the team. We will get to that too. You were asking about the perspective of McKinsey, how it all fits.
Yeah. How did it happen? How did that fit? And how is this now augmenting what Iguazu is doing?
So we actually started with a partnership with McKinsey, friendship that turned into marriage. McKinsey, not a lot of people, especially in the Israeli market, are aware of the fact that McKinsey has thousands of data scientists, data engineers. McKinsey may be one of the largest AI companies. McKinsey acquired in 2015 a company called Quantum Black. That core team has actually evolved into the Quantum Black operation within McKinsey that delivers AI projects, which are the heart of these large transformation projects that McKinsey does for, you know, the best enterprises in the world. If you think about it, the term transformation, in 2023, there is always AI that actually sits somewhere in this big machine that actually is applied on a client that is actually moving through this transformation. The transformation includes the ability to actually have within their organization the ability to adopt AI technologies, to actually deliver concepts that come from the business into applications that are applied, whether it's in, as I said, in manufacturing, banks, basically every vertical market that you can think of, there's always opportunities with AI applications. And, the acquisition happened in January 2023, a couple of months after ChatGPT created this awareness around AI. And the most discussed topic McKinsey had with its clients in 2023 was AI by far. So the timing is amazing. And as you can imagine, we're spending our time with the largest enterprises in the world, or the best enterprises in the world, that are trying to adopt AI in a better way. Some of them are somewhere in their journey. Most companies are doing something already today, but also most of them are very inefficient on how they're doing that. They're seeing the potential, and it became a top topic for CEOs that, you know, eventually are propagating it down within their organization. So I can say we're super busy.
What's been the most enjoyable part for you in this whole process? I can see how clearly passionate you are about this topic and about the space and everything that you've been going through also today. But what's been really the most enjoyable part for you as you're reflecting on this last decade and looking into the next one?
I think it's the breadth of applications and solutions within the same framework of solution that we have. We've been working with so many clients in different markets, different geographies, You know, at the end of the day, it's all around people. So that's definitely the most enjoyable part for me, is the interaction with people. But then when you see the result, when you see how they apply our technology that, you know, was conceived here by a relatively small team, and, you know, we're helping to change the world.
Well, I think that it's a unique experience going back all the way to the start of your journey in the 80s and then the Technion and doing, you know, studying the space, but then riding the six waves, I guess, as you're talking, and then being at the cutting edge of the latest one, in, you know, triggered perhaps by ChatGPT last November, but really being there with, you know, the best of the best like McKinsey over in January, and getting and now working with, you know, the most amazing companies, and seeing the adoption and the adaptations. I think that's extremely exciting. And Asaf, I really want to thank you for spending these 20 minutes with me and sharing your journey. I'm wishing you the very best of luck with everything that you'll do, either with Iguazi or anything else. And I can't wait for all of us to see what will happen in this new wave and in these exciting times. And very excited to be sharing the story of your own journey in Iguazi as well.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And as I said, you know, within 2023, that wasn't that easy for the tech sector in general. We kept on hiring, and we keep on hiring, and would love to see people join the team here. Again, it was an amazing experience before the acquisition. After the acquisition, it's even better.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Asaf. Really appreciate your time and your energy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.